Blog Talk Radio.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Assalamu alaikum and welcome to the Upload Life right here on American Muslim 360. And so we want to start off like this.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين.
Assalamu alaikum. This is Latifa A. Hamid, the CEO for American Muslim 360, the number one Islamic radio station in the nation, where your intellect is respected and your voice is protected.
The views expressed by the host guests are their own and not necessarily the position of AM360 or the parent corporation, the Community-Wide Shura Conference, CWSC Incorporated. AM360 content is intended as a community service and is not designed to provide specific personal, medical, financial, or legal counsel or other professional advice, and no liability shall extend to the hosts or hostesses of AM360 or CWSC. We encourage you to seek an advisor for your specific circumstance. Now Joshua fought the battle of Jericho,
and the walls came tumbling down. Community-Wide Shura Conference and American Muslim 360 invites you to promote your organization or event on the number one Islamic radio station in the nation, where your intellect is respected and your voice protected. Affordable rates allow you to promote your event, product, or service and strengthen our national intelligentsia network. Contact corporate underwriting today at info@cwsc.us. That's info@cwsc.us. Or call 910-317-0297. Again, 910-317-0297. Together we can remake the world.
Yes, that's the purpose. That's the intention. To remake the world. To remake our world. This here is the Upload Life and living in the Upload Life. We have a goal and objective, and that is to remake the world. But other people have an objective also. And this is the reason why we are doing this show called Living in the Upload Life.
What the technology winded up doing, especially I'm talking about the technology winded up separating the generations. That's what they did. So why is this important? It's just important that Muslims understand the way that the technology works. And the way that the technology advanced from what was going on in the pioneer generation to what's going on in the social media generation. We call it the social media generation because the advancements that happened in the social media generation winded up attracting the children.
And that's our big concern. Our big concern is that the generations are being separated. And it's understandable. I mean, this is not a playbook
that we haven't heard of before. As a matter of fact, we were probably a part of the playbook during our generation. I know that when I came up in the 1960s, there was a change that was actually coming about. And that change that came about, you could really see it in the change of music and politics. It's like the music and the culture actually influenced the politics and brought about a change. And that has happened if you follow the music trail of America. I don't know about other countries, but I definitely speak of America. If you, especially as far as the, you're talking about remaking the world. And you, if you follow the music trail of the African American in America, then you can see where changes came about. Because it was because of the humming during the picking of cotton that the slave master, okay, he allowed that to happen. It's no harm in them humming and singing in groups together because their hands are still moving. So, you know, the cotton picker was encouraged to continue to pick cotton, but he was also continued to keep on singing and humming. And they started doing it in unison. And it became something that was started to be liked, I'm going to say liked, by the slave master. And next thing you know, when the slave had a day off, that's what they would do. They would get together and sing. Next thing you know, they got, you know, introduced to the Bible, and now they're singing about, you know, their Lord Jesus is going to come and save them. And in the picture, what's the name of that picture? Harriet, right, the picture Harriet. You could see in the beginning of the picture with Harriet where the slave masters was sitting on the porch listening on the Sunday, and the slaves were out front, and they were, you know, clapping and singing. This is kind of like entertaining the slave master with, you know, these spiritual songs that they were singing. But it was allowed, and so a change came about with that because there was some kind of spiritual comfort that happened. And then we understand that this was this development gospel. Then you all of a sudden you come to the whole idea about blues. And so, you know, if you see with the blues, it was a change. If you look at the change that happened with the blues. And then if you look at the change that happened with rhythm and blues, and rhythm and blues had to do with dancing and singing together. And then you had the idea of jazz, and then with the idea of jazz, you know, there are these changes that are coming about because the so-called slave master or the dominant culture, I call it the dominant culture. The dominant culture started to accept it more. Not everybody in the dominant culture, but there was people in the dominant culture that really appreciated the creativity, you know, of the artistry of the African American. And so, you know, there were changes that came about that you could see in the culture that started to come about. And then, you know, came jazz, and then from jazz, then all of a sudden, you know, we get Motown. And all of a sudden we get, you know, next thing you know, we get hip-hop. But if you follow those things, you can see the changes that have come about in the culture. Well, right now we're in a cultural change. And the cultural change has to do with, you know, this idea of the music, of hip-hop. And it's, I was watching something on Paramount, and it was something about hip-hop, and it was just debauchery. It was the worst of the worst. It was women shaking their behinds and cursing, and you know, she threw chicken wings. Who wants some chicken wings? And she threw chicken wings into the audience. You know, let me get it right because I don't want anybody come back.
she actually, you know, she had her security carry her off stage and carry her into the crowd, and she actually was giving people a piece of chicken. I'm hungry. I'm going to be, you want to eat with me? And she came off the stage, and she started giving people a piece of the chicken wing, pieces of chicken wings, which was an interesting situation, you know. But this is where the culture is today. So there's this disconnect, and the disconnect is between the pioneer generation and the current generation of young people. And, I mean, when the young people are brought up Muslim, even when the young people are going to Muslim schools, you know, they get out and they get an opportunity, then they get involved as far as the culture is concerned. And they start participating in a lot of things. And it's not, I'm not blaming, they shouldn't do it. No, you're right, they shouldn't do it. But the influences are so strong in culture that, you know, and if we are really truthful about it, the influence of culture was strong when we came up. And we participated in parts of the culture when we were coming up. And so you think it's going to change because, you know, like they become Muslim? Well, sometimes, because when we were coming up, there wasn't Islam, there was Christianity. And sometimes Christianity kept us away from it because we were trying to live a moral life. But when you dealing with a lot of people that are not of a moral lifestyle, the next thing you know, it's a possibility to get caught up out there because it's fun. It's freeing. It's entertaining to the mind, to the body, to the taste buds, to the five senses. It's entertaining. So we get involved in it. Today, that hasn't changed as far as the culture is concerned. But what has changed is we have a social media today. And the social media is a different world from the concrete culture that we live in. So you have the culture that we live in, but there's also social media culture, and that's a whole nother world. Because when I'm saying that it's a whole nother world, I'm saying that there are people who actually participate in the upload life, people who participate in social media, people participate in Facebook, people participate on Instagram. People are participants in Twitter. People participate, especially young people, participate in the gaming system, you know, and they are able to play or they're able to participate with people from all over the world. That's what this current social media has done, is given connections. And so images are created in the upload life. And this is not maybe something that the pioneers do, but it's important for pioneers to understand that this is what the younger generations do. They participate in it. And there is something to be gained from it, okay? It's something to be gained from it. What's to be gained is you're communicating with people, or you have an opportunity to let people see you, because you can post a picture up, or you can see other people, and you can comment on their the picture that you see that's attractive to your eye. Somebody can put up a song now on social media, and you can listen to the song. If you like it, then you can press that you like it. And this is what our younger generation is involved in. And it has its advantages, has had its advantages as far as religion of Islam is concerned, but because you have a many Muslim personalities that come on social media and do da'wah. And when they do the da'wah on social media, you know, they talk about things that are
about Islam. So it's like anybody can, you know, get on the social media platform today and just, you know, just talk about whatever it is that they want to talk about. And it, the problem is that the things that they say may not be right. That's the problem. And if you are, if you decide that you're going to go on social media and you're going to look, or somebody is going to say something, and you may not you may disagree with it. And not only would you disagree with it, but it is totally wrong. I think I mentioned last week about the person who made a big deal about saying Jumu'ah Mubarak. They made a big deal about that, talking about this, did that, and all the rest of that. There was a person recently that said that, and this is how, you know, false information, and said it with such authority, women should cover because the Quran says so. No, women should cover their hair because the Quran says so. So one of the sisters wrote back, you know, yeah, give me the surah and the verse that says that. Now, this person wasn't going to be able to get the surah and the verse because it does not say that women should cover their hair. It says that women should cover. That's what it says, but it doesn't say women should cover their hair. And that's where he made the mistake, and that little piece right there. So he wasn't technically correct. But he said it as if he was technically, as if he knew what the heck he was talking about. And when it was quoted, well, you know, give me, you know, surah and verse, there was no answer. And it's the same thing. You shouldn't say that because, and that excuse was, well, because the prophet didn't say it, then we shouldn't say it. It's innovation. So, this is where we're talking about, that the younger generation can depend too much on the information that's coming off of social media. And it's not only the younger generation, but it's, you know, the elders too. So if you don't, so this is where the pioneer has to really be careful and listen to what young people are saying and listen to what young people are doing, because they can, because we've played something that said that they can, what they'll do is, let me see what we called it. Error with confidence. That's what we called it. That they're making an error in what they're saying, but they have confidence in what they're saying. Why? Because I got it offline. I got it offline. So, you know, if it's online, it's true. But that's not what the situation is. Error with confidence is not the way to go as far as it's concerned. And so what I want to do, I want to play this clip for you. This is, you know, a couple of minutes, but it's important to understand this.
How great a risk is the spread of disinformation?
AI will challenge.
Okay, what I'm going to do, this here is the 60-minute interview, and I've played the 60-minute interview a couple of times on Taking Out Peaches. One was the language model, which has to do with, and then there was the error with confidence that this information has. They speak about it with confidence, like they know what they're saying. You know, well, it's true. Look it up. Look it up online. It's true. And so this here is a part of it that talks about, you know, this error with confidence and, you know, having fake information online in the social media.
How great a risk.
One more thing I should say, that this is a 6-minute interview with Scott Pelley. Scott Pelley, on interviewing the CEO from Google.
How great a risk is the spread of disinformation?
AI will challenge that in a deeper way. The scale of this problem is going to be much bigger.
Bigger problems, he says, with fake news and fake images.
It will be possible with AI to create a video easily where it could be Scott saying something or me saying something and we never said that and it could look accurate. But, you know, at a societal scale, you know, it can cause a lot of harm.
Is Bard safe for society?
The way we have launched it today, as an experiment in a limited way, I think so. But we all have to be responsible in each step along the way.
Last month, Google released an advanced version of Bard that can write software and connect to the Internet. Google says it's developing even more sophisticated AI models. You are letting this out slowly so that society can get used to it?
That's one part of it. One part is also so that we get the user feedback and we can develop more robust safety layers before we deploy more capable models.
Of the AI issues we talked about, the most mysterious is called emergent properties. Some AI systems are teaching themselves skills they weren't expected to have. How this happens is not well understood. For example, one Google AI program adapted on its own after it was prompted in the language of Bangladesh, which it was not trained to translate.
We discovered that with very few amounts of prompting in Bengali, it can now translate all of Bengali. So now all of a sudden, we now have a research effort where we're now trying to get to 1,000 languages.
There is an aspect of this which we call, all of us in the field, call it as a black box. You know, you don't fully understand. And you can't quite tell why it said this or why it got wrong. We have some ideas, and our ability to understand this gets better over time. But that's where the state of the art is.
You don't fully understand how it works, and yet you've turned it loose on society?
Yeah, let me put it this way. I don't think we fully understand how a human mind works either.
Was it from that black box, we wondered, that Bard drew its short story that seems so disarmingly human? It talked about the pain that humans feel. It talked about redemption. How did it do all of those things if it's just trying to figure out what the next right word is?
I mean, I've had these experiences talking with Bard as well. There are two views of this. You know, there are a set of people who view this as, look, these are just algorithms. They're just repeating what it's seen online. Then there is the view where these algorithms are showing emergent properties to be creative, to reason, to plan, and so on, right? And personally, I think we need to approach this with humility. Part of the reason I think it's good that some of these technologies are getting out is so that society, you know, people like you and others can process what's happening and we begin this conversation and debate. And I think it's important to do that.
Okay. So, again, the responsibility for the pioneer generation is to be responsible and to take everything with a grain of salt. That's going to be important. The other thing is that if you don't do that, if that is something that is not done, then what's going to happen is we will wind up becoming slaves to it because we don't, you know, we've just given up our desire to think, our effort. To think, we just given up and said, well, just let me go online and take it in. Whatever it says online, yo, that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to open up the telephone line because 727-408 may have a question or a comment. Assalamu alaikum. Your microphone is open. 727-408. Assalamu alaikum.
Alaikum assalam. Alhamdulillah for revelation in the Sunnah of Prophet Muhammad. And I was coming together dealing with mutual consultation, knowledge that we have, that we are receiving. And we should forever be thankful to Allah. Alhamdulillah, yes. We should be ever thankful to Allah that not only we have direct information, but we have filters for the misinformation also. And if that allows us to discern what we're going to look at, you know, I'm going to spend my time with this. And that conversation can go. But they be grabbing our attention. And so with things to grab our attention, human beings, we won't be focused on it. But then there's some things I say, oh, man, I ain't well, you know, I don't listen to that, and I go somewhere else. So you ever notice somebody be doing all them discoveries, archaeologists and different things like that, and they start saying, yeah, you see, it could have happened like this. And then I say, hold on 1 minute. You're an expert in the field. Then you tell me it could have happened like this. I said, I leave that alone, and I move to something else. It's just like a lot of, you know, there's so much confusion that I like to just stay close to, you know, to Quran and the mutual consultation amongst each other.
You get me.
So,
right.
Yeah, alhamdulillah. Thank you, Brother Kareem. Alhamdulillah.
Oh, alhamdulillah. Thank you. You mentioned a couple of good words, and one of those words was discern. And I think that's the point that I'm really trying to get over. It's a pioneer generation that is going to be important to discern, to distinguish, you know, the truth and the falsehood. And all praise is due to Allah who has bestowed upon us the Quran, because that is the truth, and also has given us the knowledge that we actually got from Allah's creation. And if you understand Allah's creation, and the way that Allah's creation works, everything has to be in accord with that, you know, to a great degree. So that word, that's the word that we really want. Thank you so very much for that, brother.
Alhamdulillah. Thank you, brother. He said, bounties without measures. So alhamdulillah, you know something I love for us. I don't probably get to meet with the young people. That was in the leadership class with me, man, what to do, my friend. I really would like to, you know, to deal with them. They got it. They got it for the future.
Right.
And I,
inshallah, they'll be able to have that Allah will bless them with the perception that's needed to move us forward and not separate the work from the pioneer generation. Because a lot of times, I'm not talking about Muslim, I'm talking about just period. You know, younger people always talk about, you're old. Well, that's old. That's not the way it's done today. They will go there, and they will automatically fall in line like a slave with the new technology on the basis of just accepting it. I'm not going to discern. I'm not going to do that. You know, because it says online, I'm accepting.
Here's some directions that Imam Muhammad left for us. Right, he said that he wants the youth of his leadership class to form their own leadership. He said he don't want us to kind of like be getting in their way. He said, because he want them. He said, our future depends on them forming their own leadership. From the point that Imam Muhammad said, he'll say the reason why. The reason why, he said, because of my old leadership, the alliance that I had with you know, for maybe those in the Nation of Islam or however it was, he said, y'all, you waver too much. You here, you there. And he said, but he had the ones in his leadership class of youth that he ruled and he sent them with. So they have certain things that we can help foster that, get some support. Don't get in their way of what they have to do. Because why? Because, you know, it's one thing to be a Muslim, but another thing to be a believer. And you got different degrees of excellence. So I view them as our excellent Look, I'm missing a June month. So many people, so many of us, the elderly people, we transitioning. I deal with Parkinson's disease and other kind of physical things. But we are leaving our own. So just from a physical aspect, just from that physical aspect, it's logical for us to say, hey, let's see what he babble have said. He sent them way over there. He groomed them first. He sent them over there. Let's see what they got. And he say, let them do it.
You're right with that, but they still need, they still should take into consideration the guidance of the pioneer. They should still do
Allah said that he told the different names to submit. He said submit to my man when I create him. And what did he say? He said, but not written to him of my spirit. Okay? What it is, that spirit we give to them. Okay, we give them the spirit. But they have in their own self already the knowledge. And if we can take and inject our spirit from our the what we went through and what Anne went through and everything, if we can put spirit in them, that's what moves them forward. They have knowledge now. Let me tell you something. Knowledge is a very strange thing when it comes to the fact that what is best and what is better. And to me, they have what is better. We have something from our generation, but it's not affected as it is coming from what they have and everything that comes along with their physical, their mental. They got this. They got it. Check them out. They check them out.
Okay. So then the question becomes this. When we started this program, one of the goals, and I'm talking about when we started the program this morning, and it said that our goal and objective is to remake the world, right? That's what we said. Because that's part of the community. Now, our children live in a culture and a society that is remaking the world. But it's remaking the world in the image of the society that doesn't necessarily reflect our idea of remake the world. So our responsibility is to continue to guide them to our idea of remake the world and not society's, and that's what social media does. Social media, it will guide them to their idea of remake the world. Thank you, bro. Let me go ahead and take this other telephone call, but I really appreciate the comments that you gave this morning. Inshallah.
Alhamdulillah.
All right, folks. All right, so I'm going to go ahead and take another telephone call because the telephone call is here. And we're going to say this 727-408. 788. Assalamualaikum. Your microphone is open. 3511.
All right. Assalamualaikum to you as well, and to Abdullah, and to everyone. God's peace be upon you. I Martha Nyla Abdullah, calling from St. Petersburg, Clearwater, Florida. And wow. Let me reflect first on the days of my coming up real quickly, being guided by the hands of those, it said the sisters, the deacons and the mothers, it called it, in the church. Now, they were there to preserve the history, the religious balance, connection. I won't say balance, the religious connection. And if you step out of the way, and Justin said, like, singing in the choir. And you started bebopping up in the choir stand during rehearsal. You know, you were reprimanded. But so you were disciplined when you presented, because the message had to be presented, which kept the connection to the faith that they were preserving for us to carry on. Now, we stepped, and they I don't know if they accepted it, but just connecting with my mother, there were things that we stepped into that was not, it was contemporary, call it contemporary, coming from the base of sharing the faith and being in the community and growing and getting your morals and all of that. And as we grew, they knew, they saw that we were getting an educational level higher than theirs, them coming out of the field. I'm speaking directly to the African Americans, everyone, and because that's the environment I grew up in, okay? So, but evolving to that level, when I got a certain age, William, guess what? The reservoir of those songs, those hymnals, that became more of a real connection for me. When I got into situations that I hadn't been prepared for, stepping into zones of adulterated situations, I mean, you know, where people were misused, that's what I'm calling it, adulterated, everyone. So, and wasn't prepared for that. And in the sense of them, the experience, but the prayer, the calling on, holding on to the gospel plow and all of that became a reality to me. So I say that to say that generational connection has to be maintained where we can't control it, but we have to surely maintain the style, the information, and every culture is coming with its refined experience and expression of al-Islam. So when I look at another culture and they're praying, and they may not raise their hands or they may not put their hands on it, okay, but the refinement of their culture is evolving their culture. So with us, with the AI now, we have to understand, as the elders, we have to understand that, oh, okay, so you want to be out there, so inject, and I'm sure as you do it, we inject the words of wisdom. I was back in early 2000, I was on the computer, and when it first started with Facebook, I think it was, and I saw these conversations coming through. So I just got on there, and I said, Assalamu alaikum. It's time for Salatul Asr. And I just waited. And don't you know, one of the young people answered back, oh, what time is Maghrib? Allahu Akbar. So I say, you know, keep the connection. Alhamdulillah. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam. Alhamdulillah. Very well said, Sister Martha Nala Williams. And I think that you hit on something that was really important, and that was that there is a responsibility for us and for the generations that come after us to preserve the efforts that have been made as far as the human being is, the right-minded human being is concerned, to preserve the good that has happened as far as the African-American experience is concerned, and to, you know, see, because one of the things that we have the vision, and that we can see which way the younger generations are going, and I'm talking about younger generations in our family, you know, and there's a responsibility that the younger generation has to the family and to the community to preserve, you know, what it is that we've accomplished and to preserve and to maintain, mm-hmm. meaning to keep it in its original or existing state. To agree. Well, things are going to change to some degree, but, you know, like, you still have to preserve it, and you still have to, you know, make sure that there's a criteria that's being met in order for it to be preserved. And it's nothing wrong with the technology going forward, and I should say that, but the technology going forward, what it wants to do, as with everything, it's going to make us more comfortable. It makes us comfortable, and so you know we've already given up the idea of going across the street to talk to the neighbor in person because we can always use our cell phone to call them. We've given up. This is what society has done. We've given up the idea of going to the grocery store. And I'm not saying everybody, but this is in the culture. The great majority, well, I ain't going to even say the great majority, but there are a bunch of people that instead of cooking at home, they actually order their food online. and you know that it's a lot of people doing it because these businesses, all the fast food chains, the current pizza spots and all the rest of that, DoorDash and Uber Eats, they're successful. They're being successful. That means that people are comfortable, not cooking their food, but ordering somebody else to cook their food. So there's this comfort level. And what we really have to watch out for as far as this AI is concerned is what AI is doing is it's making it more comfortable for a human being not to think.
Mm-hmm.
Don't worry about
that.
I'll do the thinking for you. Yeah, go ahead.
Okay. The addition to that or another piece of that is the expectations. What's the expectation of the younger generations that we see? And I'm going to Quran. Well, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and I'm thinking in my mind trying to clearly, is not aborting when we know the change of time or is the end of time is the way Yusuf Ali put it, and is referencing about the babies being born before their time or the dropping of the load, the giving up of the load. And I reference that to us, to anyone who is of a faith body impregnated with the truth and delivering the children, the next generation, the next mind over to society. So that's, we're just, we're delivering the babies before they're able to carry the load. And how do we know it? It's when we turn to them and we expect the regularity of prayer, or even if they're irregular, we expect some prayer to be made. But if there's no prayer being made, and so you ask yourself, where's the extension of me? In the sense of, where do I see what I have? Where can I place this baby, this truth that I have in? Where can I put it? Well, the society is adulterating it. And that's the shaitan preparing the womb that of society rather than us getting headlong into it and really preparing it. So I'll stop right there. Assalamu alaikum.
Yeah. Wa alaikum assalam. Alhamdulillah. Thank you so very much, Sister Martha Nala Williams. That was a great contribution that you basically made with that. I just want to I just want you to understand that people talk with confidence about some of the things that they're saying, and it has a lot to do with artificial intelligence, because again, people are we are just living in an age where we can use our computers and use our phones to research information. And that's what we can do. We can do that. Let me open up the telephone line for Brother Bilal again, 727-408. You have another question or comment, Bilal?
Yes. Look. We had the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, right? Before the Imam Wahdatuddin Muhammad. Okay. Here we go. Right back, there we go. Nothing could have stopped Imam Wasidi Muhammad. He brought the best from his father. Listen to this. We can bring father, right? But he the one who had to lead it and brought that purity that we needed to deal with this. Looking at where the children that I say with from Imam Muhammad leadership class, that's where we stand when it comes to them. I see that to me it's the same focus. The same focus.
That's very good, and that's what we want. However, just remember that the Honorable Master Elijah Muhammad confirmed and verified Imam W.D. Muhammad. He told him, because he got it. He understood it. He's like, first of all, Honorable Master Elijah Muhammad, you know, what his contribution was to the culture was better than what the culture had and what our people had before he came into existence. So you understand what I'm saying? So, you know, because he went from this worship and of the wrong God to another version of the wrong God, but that version was, it was a confidence builder, you know, and he said, you know, my responsibility is to clean up the black man and woman of America. I didn't come to the Muslim community. I came to the black man in America because I see, you know, how this society is reaching them. So I came to clean up the black man and woman of America and tell them, man, listen, this man that you worship, and he's the devil because he's doing you wrong. Stand up for yourself. But Imam W.D. Muhammad was able to come with the truth of Al-Islam, with the truth of the Creator. So that was another elevation. So now the question becomes, will our current generation, we the pioneer generation who has preserved this truth, this idea of life being Muslim, we have preserved that. Will the next generation be able to preserve that? Or are they going to, they're going to take us on someplace else? And I say that on this basis. I say that on the basis that, look, Shaitan is really being busy today. And there are things that are being taught to our children in school right now today that are being taught to our children in school as far as, you don't want me to play it, so then I'm not going to, that's why. See, I'm using technology right now to search the audio clips. And in searching the audio clips, because there's something that I want to say. Now, because listen here. Here it is that there is a person that is supposed to be a doctor. And he's still talking to somebody, and he gets offended when the truth is brought to him. You know? Gets offended. So this is a 53-second clip, so I want you to hear this.
Next question, please.
You said that you're a trans woman.
I trans female, yes, ma'am, sir.
Do you have a penis?
That's horrible.
Yeah. You're the one that brought that into the discussion.
I never said anything about genitalia.
Oh, everything is genitalia.
I don't know what my rights are for right now.
Okay, I'm going to stop it right there because I want you to understand that, you know, this is where the idea is. I don't know what my rights are. But you know, we're dealing with legislation that has come about that has allowed a new definition of what a woman is, and is I'm a trans female. And when that question is asked, then you know, it's like, don't ask me that question because I got rights. So this is the other part that we are dealing with today. The other part that we are dealing with as a community and as Americans, period, is that there are, and this is why politics winds up being important. This is why the work of Martha Nyla Williams, and we're going to get some other people on to talk about politics and how we can, you know, what we can do, because, you know, they're teaching this thing about, you know, this redefinition of what man and woman is. They're teaching that in public schools that we pay for with our tax dollars. And the way that it came about is because it was legislated. So, I mean, it is totally out of the confines of the natural creation. It's totally out of the confines of it. But the thing is that, you know, I got rights. I got rights. And that's what we're dealing with today. We're dealing with that. And so, you know, will our children going to be able to, you know, address these kinds of issues? Because that's what, you know, they're going to say, well, I got a right. I got a right. I'm a man. I got a right to sleep with another man. Oh, well, you know, it's the legislature. Yeah. Oh, you know, I can call myself a woman. I can call myself a woman, even though, you know, I still have male machinery. I can still call myself a woman. Why? Because that's what I feel inside. This is what our children, we're talking about the leadership, the new leadership, these are things that they're going to have to deal with. And we're talking about preserving and maintaining the definition of a man and the definition of a woman. We have to be able to preserve that. And the question becomes, man, you know, like, as pioneers, we have to watch our children and make sure that they don't get caught up in it. Because I don't mean get caught up as far as being a man and being a woman, but I mean get caught up in the legislation part of the rights of the people. Is the future generation, is the future leadership going to be strong enough as leaders to stand with the Holy Quran and to stand with other religious communities and say, what you're doing is wrong. What you're doing is wrong. And I say that to you because you know that they're paying African countries. America is actually going over to other African countries and telling them that they should legislate LGBTQ rights. And the African countries told them, respect our culture. Respect our culture. Don't come over here telling us what we need to do as far as human rights and civil rights is concerned. No, you keep that over there in your country. Don't come over here disrespecting us. You know, that's not a big problem for us here in Africa. The things that we're dealing with is making sure that we have, you know, technology, making sure that our people have something to eat, making sure that our people have some place to stay, and making sure that our people have jobs. Those are the things that we are concerned about. We're not concerned about this so-called human rights thing that you got going on that you're trying to push all over the world. You can push that. Listen, you go ahead and push it. You know, that's what you do. That's what you do. That's what the African countries are saying. That's what you do. That's what you do. But don't try to influence us with it. Allow us to respect our way of life, respect our culture, and respect us. Respect our ability to make decisions for ourselves. So this is what we want our children, the future leaders, to be able to do. We want them to be able to do that too. Oh boy. Well, look, you know, I only have 5 minutes left in the program, so, and I didn't, I have to, you know, go ahead and play some PSA. But let me say this here, that today, this is Monday, on American Muslim 360, will later on today at like 1 o'clock will be Muslim American Power Maps today at 1 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And then Optimal Health and Maya Cooley Health will take place today, Monday, at 5 p.m. Also, I'd like to invite you to listen to A New Day for Al-Islam in America Community Radio, which will be on at 10 a.m. today from 10 to 1. That's living. That's A New Day for Al-Islam Community Radio at 515-605-9326. Reviving the Quran and Sunnah. 515-605-9326. This Wednesday coming, we're going to have Jesse Hameen is going to be the special guest on A New Day for Al-Islam Community Radio and talk about cultural extravaganza concert that's going to be happening in West Haven, Connecticut. It is going to be something because we're going to have Wali Ali, Jesse Hameen, Sawad El Amin, the Philadelphia Intruders, and I'll also be performing as a You know, because if you know me, I did Muslim hip hop. So, Birds of a Feather, I think we're going to do that as a crowd pleaser. And there'll be other people also. But that's Jesse Hameen. That'll be on Wednesday on New Day for Muslim Community Radio. And also today on IWDN Radio at 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, it'll be Nazim Basha, the ABCs of Islam. All about. I don't know exactly what it means. ABCs of Islam, though. 6 p.m. on IWDM Radio. And with that, we are going to go ahead and play Greenslot.
Assalamu alaikum. This is Edward Willis, advisor at Graceline Community, asking you to join me in supporting community-wide Shura Conference and American Muslim 360. Make your tax-deductible contribution today at cwsc.us. or phone in your pledge to 910-317-0297. Again, make your tax-deductible contribution today at cwsc.us or by phone at 910-317-0297. Together, we can remake the world. Thank you.
Yes, together we can remake the world. So there's something I wanted to point out, especially as far as AARP is concerned. When a loved one gets scammed, this here is in the July, August 2023 issue, and here's how you can help. First of all, don't blame and shame, a pioneer if they get, scammed online, but do listen with compassion about, what has happened. And understand their fears about opening up to you because the thing is that it's embarrassing. They may have lots of money as far as it's concerned, but help them out with reporting and explain how it matters that it winds up being important. There was a fraud team who said that I recently received a friend request on Facebook from someone I had already connected with, and I learned it was not actually her. What does this mean? Why does this happen? It's that many Facebook scams use the likeness of people you are connected with to try to trick you into sending money using a fake friend request in a common one. Don't respond and report all fake profiles to Facebook. Also, if somebody calls you, especially about, something like you have a credit card and you miss a payment, or when you talk to somebody, especially online, do not use the word yes. Don't use the word yes. Can you hear me okay? Yes. No, they say. Don't say yes. Can you hear me okay? I can hear you. Say I can hear you. Don't say yes because they're able to clone you saying yes, and that gives them, they can clone your voice and then use that. They may be able to use that to, say yes for many other things that you may do. I had somebody call me because I missed a payment, and they called me. Oh, listen, would you like to make a payment today over the phone? No. Well, you can make it for. Can you hear me okay? I can hear you okay. That's what. Rather than say yes, because they was trying to get me to say yes, and I was aware of it. Can you hear me okay? So So rather than say yes, I said, I can hear you okay. Well, would it be satisfactory for you if we made for us to use your telephone number to call you again? Yes. So rather than say yes, you can use my telephone number to call me again. But they had three or four different sentences that they were using trying to get me to say the word yes. So this is something that's very important. Also to let you know that the project that AARP has a $10 million grant, and the project is in collaboration with Olga Adults Technology Services, an AARP charitable affiliate and operator of the Senior Plant Education Program. Though some classes are available online, the Digital Skills Ready at 50 program is aimed at in-person lessons. 8 states, Arizona, Georgia, Illinois, Louisiana, North Carolina, Pennsylvania, South Carolina, and Texas, offer live training programs where people can get hands-on guidance from one of nearly 125 trained experts. The in-person training takes place in a variety of formats depending on the class you choose. 60-minute lectures, 90-minute workshops, and multi-session series that last several weeks. Nearly 15,000 people have taken the class. To find out more and sign up for classes, go to aarpfoundation.org/digitalskillsready. So that's what I have for you today, brothers and sisters, and I thank you so very much for tuning in. I really appreciate the contributions from those who have called, Brother Bilal and Sister Martha Nala Williams. Remember, it's important for us to preserve our culture and to perceive, you know, what's going on and to be discerning about the information that we get. And so I'm going to go out with PSA, First Sunday with Omar Shakir.
The peace be on you. Assalamu alaikum. My name is Omar Shakir, and I'm resident imam of Masjid Bilal Ibn Rabah in San Antonio, Texas. And I would like to invite you every first Sunday from 12 to 1:30 p.m. Eastern Time to join us for our class where we're dealing with the subject matter of the basics in Islam. We are excited about this program, even if we're new Muslims or Muslims have been in the faith for many, many years. It is a wonderful opportunity to learn and understand this beautiful way of life. We also connected with various insights from the tafsir of Imam Waliduddin Muhammad radiallahu anhu, and we all explain its practical application. We look forward to being with you on every first Sunday of the month where we would deal with the basics of Islam. The peace be on you. Assalamu alaikum.
Yeah, so that the first Sunday will be in 2 weeks, because today is the 24th. Next Sunday will be the 31st, so it'll be the first Sunday will be in the next month. But that's 2 weeks from now, you hear that. All right, until next time, again, I pray that Allah will bestow his mercy on us, and I pray that there's nothing that I said or did. The intent was definitely not to be offensive to anybody, but to to inform and hopefully help to make our community aware of what's going on in the upload life. Until tomorrow, I'm your host, William Kareem. I give you greetings. Assalamu alaikum.